Genesis chapter 1, and I want to begin with verse 26. Now, God created the heavens and the earth. We don't need, that's not the creation. And I'm not going to, this is not one of them tonight. I'm just going to give you an example, and I'm trying this out to see how we will go with this. But I want to read these verses of Scripture to you. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, this is not part of it, but I've always used that verse of Scripture when people want to come down and use pronouns where they talk about to try to prove the Trinity. Well, in this verse of Scripture, God said, let us, that's more than one, make man, that's one, and our, that's more than one, image, that's one, after our, that's more than one, likeness, that's one, and let them, that's more than one, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. That's one. Male and female created he them. That's more than one. So how many did God create? And he named them Adam. So you can't take pronouns and prove the Godhead. It's just that simple. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, and the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. Now, it appears to me that God said we could eat anything that grows that's got a seed. Now, if you find something that hadn't got a seed, then he said you couldn't eat it. But this said if it had a seed, you could eat it. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now let's skip down to verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now that's the second time said you can eat of everything. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And I'd call to your attention that God must have made male and female of every one of those creatures. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. So in the original human race there was only Adam, where in all the others there was male and female. Now chapter 1 said male and female created he them, and call them Adam. So there must have been something about Adam with male and female both. And verse 21 in chapter 2. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and stood thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I'd like to point out to you that Eve was not a part of the original creation. She's the only female that was a byproduct of the male. All of the others, God made them male and female. But He made the woman from the male and gave her to Adam as a helpmate. Then we go to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And whatever this serpent was, he was able to communicate with Eve. If he was a snake, he was a talking snake. But the Bible says he was the most subtle than any beast of the field. And later on we will take that word subtle and show you that he was the most intelligent and the most beautiful and the most attractive. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. And he changed one word and brought all the sin upon the earth, all the sickness, all the disease, all the darkness, all the lives have been lost, all the heartaches, all the sorrows, all the weeping, all the crying, and all the punishment and all the judgment was caused by Satan changing, or the serpent changing that one word when he said, Thou shalt not surely die. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, now good means as it should be. Like when God made something, he stopped and said, That's good. When you say something's good, that doesn't necessarily mean it's delicious, but it means, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's correct. For God, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, food, people seem to think that to mean that it means something that you take and you ingest and you take it in and you chew it and you swallow it for nourishment. But there's also things that's food for thought. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. You know, it's not necessarily the sight of food that attracts you to it. Most scientists tell you that it's the aroma, the smell of it, and the taste that makes food delicious, not the sight of it. Because, you know, you can see an artificial fruit made out of a piece of wood painted that looks like a pear, a banana, or an apple, and the sight of that does not appeal to you. But it's that smell, the aroma, the feel, the taste of it that makes that appeal to you. But it was pleasant to the eyes. And I'd point out to you that there's a place in the Bible where God took that which was pleasant to the prophet's eyes, and when he did, he took his wife. And a tree to be desired. And if you will look that desired word up, that's not necessarily an appetite word. That's one that refers to lust. Desired to make one wise. Now, you know, I don't care how you come along and you teach anybody anything, you can tell the young people all about the birds and the bees and the facts of life, but you know, when they get a certain age, they want to have full experience. They want to experience it. They want to have full knowledge of it. They think that's make them wise. Somebody says, well, I heard you tell about that experience over there. I heard you participate in that, but I'd like to have the experience myself. That's how men seek wisdom. In personal, physical experience. So she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now that sounds like that they took and put it in her mouth, and they chewed it and they swallowed it. But I want you to know that Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20 creates a real question. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. Now, you know what an adulterous woman does. It says, she eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no evil. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now, eating some fruit and swallow it, made them realize they were naked? No, that is not what makes people realize they're naked. It's morals or immorality. Either the standard or the lack thereof that makes people realize they're naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And I only ask the honest question. If they sinned with their mouth, why didn't they put the fig leaves over their mouth and make a mask? Instead, they sewed aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And right there establishes a fact. Man does not seek God. God seeks man. From the very beginning. You did not seek God, but the Holy Ghost led you, convicted you, and brought you in. No man cometh unto me except the Spirit of my Father draw him. And you need to learn that lesson, because so many people think that they gave their heart to God. But if the Holy Ghost had left you alone, you'd still be out there in the world somewhere. And people can hear the same truth and the same gospel that you hear, but it doesn't have the same effect on them. And it's because God chose to give you ears to hear. Often in this verse of Scripture, I'm reminded of when it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Another one of the writer says that Jesus was driven into the wilderness. Now, you know, one is leading and one is shoving. And if you'll just think about it, the night that you gave your heart to God or anything you've ever done for God, the Holy Spirit led you and pushed you to apply the same amount of pressure in front and the back, and you thought you made the decision, but it was the presence of God that was dealing with you. So, God was seeking man. And we go on now, and I want to go to verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. And then it states a fact. Because she was the mother of all living. Now this begins to create a mystery. Unless you've already got your mind made up what original sin is. Why doesn't the Bible say that Adam was the father of all living? It does say that Eve was the mother of all living. And when I get into this series, I will have here the scientific articles that show that scientists now say that we all did come from a common woman, regardless of how many centuries ago it was. But we all came from a common mother. Then we can go to chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And the question people always say is, well, it says Adam knew Eve and she bare Cain. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, if you'll notice, it says one time that Adam knew Eve and it says she had Cain and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." But you take the two most wicked people in the world and let them bring a child into this world, and they will tell you that God gave them that child. But it doesn't mean that a righteous man was the father or that the woman was a righteous woman. But here the scripture says, these two scriptures say, that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And she bare Cain and said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Is it possible that they were twins in their mother's womb? There'll be people who says, no, she could not conceive by two different males. But we know that scientifically that is positive today, because we have evidence that shows that there was a woman in France that she had affairs with three different men, and she had a Caucasian, she had a black, and she had an Asian child, triplets. And she was three different men that night and produced birth. And whenever I showed that article to Brother Branham, Brother Branham told me to have Brother Lee Vail put that in the Church Age book. And Brother Vail didn't put it in there. But we have that article today and people can see it. And since then, there's been many, many others that have come along to do the same thing. So the mystery begins to thicken, so to speak. Was there a difference between the descendants of Adam and those that we believe that Eve had an affair with the serpent. We begin to find that it says something about Cain and Abel. And verse 3, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now why, if they were both sons of the same man and the same woman, and they both brought an offering to God, what made the difference? One of these was a blood sacrifice. The other one was a vegetation. There was no shedding of blood. Now, those that know the Bible know that later on the Bible teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There must have been some kind of a spiritual revelation happened in the life of Abel, that he knew that the original sin was a blood sin. And therefore he offered a blood sacrifice while Cain offered just a sacrifice of fruits. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up and against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. I want you to read that verse of scripture that I quoted to you earlier about the adulterous woman. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. And we know what an adulterous woman does. Would you turn to John chapter 8? And let's create a mystery here. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of his day. John chapter 8, verse 38. Verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Now, Jesus implies here that they had a different father than he did. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. Now I can prove by history from the ancient rabbis that Sister Mary Schweitzer's brought me that the rabbis knew this doctrine of original sin. Back in the ancient manuscripts, they knew where this sin of adultery and fornication came from. We have not been born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, some people want to spiritualize that, but to me, when you take all the scriptures and put them together, there was a physical inheritance from the loins of their father. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe you not. You believe me not. Now, if you will go to 1 John chapter 3, a little epistle of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 12. Verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own words were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, when you take the scripture and you wonder, well, why can't everybody love everybody? Why can't everybody get along? It's because not everybody has a righteous seed in them. You may say, well, that's awful hard to take. Well, then what does the Bible mean when it talks about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor? What does it talk about those which are righteous and those which are unrighteous? You can go to Romans chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse. Let's begin with verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, Rebekah only knew one male, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, before they were ever born, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God made that choice before they were ever born, showing that one person can carry both lines. There can be the righteous seed, which Jacob came, but then there can be the one that God hated from Esau. Have you often thought of the scripture when it says Esau sought to with bitterness to repent, but he could not? Regardless of how he tried, he could not repent. And then when he became bitter, he went out and married somebody out of the house of Ishmael. And it was double bred into that lineage. And that's the results we have today. That's the reason that you cannot get those people over there to even accept a Jew. Because it's double bred. And folks, we in this message, we should understand this. And we should thank God for the grace of God in our lives. That folks, that's the reason I say, if you can feel conviction, thank God for it. That's evidence that God can deal with you. One that is of Cain, of that seed, he cannot respond to the presence of God. He doesn't know how to repent. And then, to make this mystery kept, if original sin was not adultery in the Garden of Eden, then somebody explained to me why Jesus had to be virgin born. He had to bypass original sin. If he'd been born with a natural father and mother as you and I were, he would have been subject to sin. He would have had to die himself for his own sins. But because he had no sin, did no sin, knew no sin, he could take my place. Praise God. Now that's a sample. I don't expect you to shout. I expect you to absorb it. And we will try to take that and, as I say, put it in 2 27-minute segments. And tonight I wanted to give you the preview of what we're going to try to do. Will you pray for me? Now, let me say this. If any of you have a subject that you want me to cover, I don't mind you giving me the subject. We'll try to put it on the list. I will say this, that when I go overseas, and Brother Larry and Brother Eli and Israel will tell you that the young people in Monte Carlo, there was about 180 of them, teenagers, unmarried, and they wanted me to talk to them about courtship and marriage and divorce. And I gave them a very simple piece of advice to how to never get a divorce. Never get married. It's just that simple. If you never get married, you never have to worry about divorce. But it's like this, folks. 85% of our problem is still how to get along with our husband and wife and our family. Brother Branham told me in Helena, Montana one day, he said, Brother Green, out of all the people that come to me for an interview, he said, 85% of them come to me with a domestic problem. He says, 10% of them come and won't talk to me about, want to use me like a Ouija board. Well, where should I work? Where should I live? Where's the gold? Where's the treasure? Where's the oil on my property? Where's this? Where's that? And he said, only 5% come with a spiritual problem. And I'm here to tell you, it's still the same way, folks. Biggest problems we have today is how to get along with each other. The ones we love the most, the one that God gave us for a helpmate to each other. And I didn't put that on a list, but I will cover the place of men, the place of women, and the place of the children. We'll have a lesson on each one of those. If you pray for me, I think God will bless us with this, huh? Okay? Any questions? Good. You either don't know enough about it to ask a question, or I told you everything you need to know tonight. God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, how grateful we are, Lord, that we live in a country, we have freedom, and we have your printed word. But I believe, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity now to sit for a few nights and study this word together and look at it. And I trust, Lord, that it will strike our hearts and that you'll implant this written word, this letter, in our hearts and minds, and you'll reveal it to us by your Spirit into our lives and make it become a part of our character, that we'll not be ashamed to say this is what God's Word says. Lord, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost for this to really work with us. We need to perceive that you're present with us and this is you directing us and guiding us in this. So I ask you to come, Lord Jesus. Bring us back at the appointed times. Remind us of these things this week, Lord, how precious it is that we could walk in the lack of knowledge, but you've chosen to let us see the flood of knowledge you had that's going to fill the earth. And Lord, it makes you so wonderful to understand that you had this mighty plan and that you're sovereign and you do what you want to do. And let us perceive your presence and let us yield ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You say amen? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Praise God, 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 praise God.
praise God.